And so I want to start with this morning. We're at week three of worship, for those who maybe have just figured it out. Week three of worship, the title is called Head, Heart, Hands. There you go, really simple. And so the question I'm going to ask you this morning is, what seat are you sitting in? What seat are you sitting in when it comes to worship? Are you sitting in the head, the heart, or the hands? And I can see you go, well, there's another seat there. That's for those who haven't decided. That's for those who go, I'm not sure where I'm at. I'm not sure if I believe this. I'm not sure if I trust this. I'm not sure where I'm at. You've got a chair up here too. There's a space for you at the foot of the cross, even if you're not ready to make that decision. So today we're talking head, heart, and hands. I was reading a story through the week about St. Michael's in America. And St. Michael's in America, very affluent church with very rich people. That's what affluent means, so I just doubled up really. And it was a very affluent church there, giving often exceeded $1 million a year. And this affluent area was filled with affluent people, about 300-400 called St. Michael's their home. And they would go to this church and they would don on their finest threads and walk amongst each other, smiling lovely. And one day they got a new priest, and the new priest came in and they thought they'd welcome him with a garden party. And so they had their delicate, desirable clothing on, and they had this beautiful garden party going. And as they were enjoying the garden party, they noticed this one man dressed not in the finest threads, but, you know, somewhat scummily dressed, a little like Ash this morning. Just kidding, just wanted to make sure you knew I was still following you. And so he came in, he had a bit of an odour about him. It was obvious that he was from a lower side of society. He was often off the streets, possibly. And he came, and as they were wandering and mingling around together, he walked up and he began to just look around and fill his pockets with the pastries. Well, at that point, one of the Wendy's, it's Karen, isn't it? Sorry for all those who are Wendy and anybody called Karen, please forgive me. One of the Karens went up to the new priest and they said to him, what are you going to do about that, Father? Father, can you see what he's doing? What are you going to do about it? He said, it's a good point. He walked over, he felt all eyes upon him at this moment. He thought, what am I going to do in this situation? What do I do? So he reached under the table and he found the empty box that the pastries had come from, and he began to fill the box with the pastries and turned and smiled and gave it to the homeless guy and said, this is for you and for your friends on the street. We just want to bless you and love you. And he walked back to the lady who was in quite a tiff and said, hey, is that what you meant? I'm asking this morning, when it comes to worship, are you coming from your head, your heart, or your hands? And we're going to look at that particular story and reflect on it later. Or are you not decided yet? And being not decided yet is okay. But I was going to review this couple of weeks and go, so the head worship means, and we spoke about controlling your focus, controlling your future. The object fixation cuts in. Whatever you're fixated on, whatever you're looking towards, that is ultimately what you are going to be drawn towards. I'm going to ask Callum, aren't you on live? How is it you're sitting here? I'm going to ask somebody who's not Callum, because Callum's going to be getting his phone and checking that our live is going really well. How he's sitting there, I'm not sure. Zach, where's Zach? Zach, how have you got a sound guy sitting here checking our lives? For all who are on live, if this isn't going well, that's because he's sitting here. Should we move on with this now? Callum, I love you very, very much. I'm praying that the live is going well or you're in big trouble. Nick, everyone get it up for Nick. Nick's birthday today, so happy birthday, Nick. you wanted me to keep that quiet. I am so sorry, I didn't realise. And I'm going to pick on you this morning, but in a really nice way. So Nick is sitting in the seat that's called the head. And when you turn the head, you direct your body. And when you direct your body, you're ultimately going to move in a certain direction. And so we're going to talk to Nick about asking him, what is he focused on this morning? What is he looking towards? And at this age, and this is not a pick on Nick at all, I promise. At this age, Nick is often going to be looking at his peers. Nick is going to be looking at his wallet, wondering why mum and dad haven't filled it. Good to see you, Matt. Nick's looking for a bit extra work. Nick's going to be looking for a partner. That was good, wasn't it? Huh? Partner, you know? A prospective partner in life. So he's looking at his peers and his partner hunt has started. I could have called a number of young adults up, but I thought they might not forgive me quite as easily, so you're it, sorry. And it's really easy, isn't it, to get distracted. And it's really easy to begin to head in the wrong direction. And I want to talk to Nick this morning because I think some of us can fill that category of what is our head looking at? Have we got object fixation going on? I woke up this morning. I have so many stories to go today that have nothing to do with the sermon, but I just want to tell you. So I woke up this morning and I woke up with the Lord's Prayer in my head. I don't know whether anybody else wakes up praying. I often wake up praying and I woke up and I'm praying the Lord's Prayer. And I don't know about you, but I often nod back to sleep again during the Lord's Prayer and wake back up and I try it again. I don't get through very far and I'm nodding off. And unless I get out of bed, but this morning I realised my wife is in New Zealand. So hello, wife, if you're tuning in. If you're not, why? Anyway, moving on. So my wife's in New Zealand, so I'm all alone. I woke up this morning and I was praying and felt myself nodding off, and then I realised something really cool that only you would understand if you know how crazy I am. I'm alone, right? I don't got to pray in my head. I can pray out loud. So I could roll over on the bed and lift my hands up and just begin to say, "Our Father who art in heaven." What's that word mean? Hallowed be your name? Huh? Holy? Separated, set apart? Would it be fair to say lifted above every other name? Would it be fair to say that when you are praying that prayer, you're directing your attention towards Him and Him alone, and you're saying, I want your name and you to be on the throne of my life. I want to be fixated and focused on you, because when I'm fixated and focused on worshiping you, then you are going to guide the direction of my entire day from that point forward. And so I could do this. I could lay there and lift my hands and speak really loudly. It was so exciting. Sorry, digress for a moment. But I realized how easy it is to go, you know, hallowed be your name, but really we're saying hallowed be your name, but we're focused on whether that girl at school likes me or not, right? Or, you know, or we're focused on whether dad is actually going to put that $20 in my wallet later on. Or we're focused on whether that kid at school thinks I'm cool, or whether I've got the newest shoes, or whether, and so all of a sudden, or why I didn't rank number one in my PlayStation game off that I had or something, you know. But all of a sudden we realize, are you enjoying sitting there, by the way? It's cool. You're awesome. You're doing a great job. Who thinks he's doing a good job? But how easy is it at this age to be distracted? And we can say hello, be your name, but we're not really focusing on hallowing His name and putting His name first. We kind of say it, but we're looking at whether the girl likes me or not, or whether that girl's going to take me to the date, or whether she'll accept my proposal or not. Everyone get this situation so far? And so what we're going to do is we're just going to ask Nick, I want you, Nick, at this point, this stage in your relationship with God, this point in your life, to turn your chair and fix your eyes on the prize. That's just cool because it rhymes. And we're going to look at the cross. Because this is what it means to worship God, and it starts somewhere, and we're asking the question, what seat are you sitting in? And the first seat that it starts in is, well, once you move from this seat, I'm not sure whether I believe or not, you move to the, oh, I want to know more. And so you fix your eyes on the cross, and the cross speaks to you right where you are in your journey, and it begins to speak to you about sacrifice, and begins to speak to you about, do you trust me? Nick, I went all the way for you. Trust me, I've got a better plan for you than anybody else you know. Nick, I was prepared to go all the way for you. It doesn't matter what your wallet looks like today. I've got a plan for your wallet. I've got a plan for your future. I've got a plan for your peers. I've got a plan for your entire life. Can you just look at me? Stop looking everywhere else and just look at me. Just focus on what I've done. Focus on who I am. Direct your attention there and begin to worship there, because worship is where you're directing your attention. What you're giving your thought and your attention to, that is the beginning of our worship. Are you following me? You got this so far? Okay, cool. That's great. Angus, I'm going to get you to come up here. Ready? Angus has gone on a little bit further in his journey, and he's going to sit in the chair called heart. And he's going to sit at heart. It means he's moved from the head to the heart. And this is what we were trying to point out last week. We said, how hard is it Sometimes we can stop our body. I don't know whether you notice, Angus, when the praise is going on, he's running back and forwards, praising God. And I just love it, by the way, because I think church should be a place where people are so free to dance and to sing and to raise their arms. And if they need to run, run, providing they're keeping everyone else safe. Breathing on. Okay. So we can stop our body, but it's a little harder sometimes to still our heart, isn't it? So we can stop it. So how do we still our heart? Well, we still our heart by maintaining our focus. And then we come back to here and so you're gonna just turn a little bit. You're gonna keeping your focus. That's not all the way. There, that far. You're gonna keep keeping your focus, okay? Not only are you gonna slow your body down, but you're gonna slow down your heart and your thoughts. And we're just gonna rest in this space. There's so many times we get older, don't we? We grow. And we think, yes, I've moved it. But you know, if worship doesn't come from the heart, you go through the motions. Jesus said it last week, didn't he? Matthew chapter 15, he said, you know, with your lips these people praise me and with their mouth they honour me, but their hearts are far from me. And you're sitting in this chair and sometimes it's so easy to sit in that chair and your heart is still so unsettled. You're anxious and fearful and fretting and worried and your body is still, but your brain is everywhere. Anyone else ever had one of those moments where they're looking and they're like, I know I'm supposed to be looking at Jesus and trusting him. If you trip me over, no, I'm just kidding. It's a joke. It's a joke. Safe. You're safe. Our body is still, but our brains are running everywhere. Our heart hasn't slowed down. It hasn't settled. And so we need to do that. That's which seat are you sitting in? And sometimes when we try and sit in that seat, we come back to this seat, don't we? And we start looking, oh, yeah, but because anxiety is always future focus. Anxiety is when you look at something and you imagine it and it begins to catastrophize, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then you're fretting and you're stressing. And the minute you find yourself stressing and fretting, you know what you've done? You've taken your eyes off God. You cannot be fully fixated upon Him and trusting in Him and be stressed and worried at the same time. So we need to move from our head and our focus to just slowing down our heart. We shared a couple of scriptures last week and I'm going to share them with you this morning if I can find them quickly. Well, one of the things I think when you're sitting in this chair is Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is. The Lord is. He is my shepherd and I shall not want. I shall not want a girlfriend. I shall not want more money. I shall not want a retirement. See, I'm at the point now I'm starting to cast my eyes towards retirement. And if I'm not careful, I'm casting my eyes so much towards retirement. Not next year, you're safe. But if I'm not careful, I'm looking so much towards my retirement, so much towards my finances, so much towards my future, so much towards my planning that I take my eyes off. So maybe this message is just for me because I felt God talk to me through the week about, Phil, where are you focused? You're standing up there on a Sunday and telling everybody, focus on God while you're planning your... Ooh. It's not wrong to desire retirement. It's not wrong to desire a girlfriend. It's not wrong to desire more money in your wallet, Matt. It's not wrong. It's wrong when it becomes hallowed, when it becomes set apart, when it becomes the object you're fixated on. Are you following me this morning? And so you move to your heart. And we saw last week and we said, Psalms 46:10 says, be still, be still, be still. Stop just talking about stop moving. It's talking about calming your heart. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I have a plan for you. Be still and know that your future is safe. I just want to turn it a bit more so you could see it. It's safe and secure. Be still. And we did that last week and we slowed down and we read the scriptures. Be still and know that I am God. Psalms 131 verse 2, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child. You know, I notice having a granddaughter now who's beautiful, by the way. But I notice when she's hungry, she lets you know. Well, not so much me, but Mum. And she lets Beck know, doesn't she? When she's hungry, she lets everybody in the entire household know. But the minute she's full and fed and satisfied, that's what God says to do. Be still and know. And he goes to the next one, I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child. Isaiah 26, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind, and can I say mind is actually whose mind and heart is stayed on you. If the enemy's trying to steal peace, it's because he's trying to distract you and get you to fixate and focus on something that is not the promises of God. Are you still okay? And I was going to get the three worship leaders to get up because, as I said last week, I talked about the heart, and I said that came from my daughter's conversation with me about connecting. I connect in the heart. It's all about connecting with him and just knowing in that moment that he is there and he is present. And I know, you know those moments where you know that you know that you know. You just know it's okay. That's that connection. That's where I worship from that space. I know. So we go from our head to our heart. And I had Lisa then, and I was asking Lisa as we did one of our drives and fellowship days. And I said to Lisa, what does worship mean to you? And Lisa said, it's what you do with your hands. But it's not about lifting your hands. It's not about clapping your hands. It's not about the external singing. It's about you're motivated to live out of the expression of worship. You're motivated like the father, the priest that we started with in the story. What does worship look like to him? It doesn't look like him being fixated by everybody else's opinions and judgments and the peer pressure of being a new minister. It doesn't look like him just sitting calmly and going, well, all is well with my soul. It is well. No. Because if it doesn't move from your head to your heart to your hands, if there's no outward expression of worship, is it actually worship? James says it like this. Can I read the book of James to you? James chapter 2 verse 14. He says, for without faith, without works, sorry, faith is dead. He said, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you don't give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And I already know because most people here can read, and so they go, but Pastor Phil, I'm not sure if you realize you're talking about worship and he's talking about faith. And I'm going to throw it back and go, I'm not sure if you realize that they're the same thing. That you cannot worship a God who you don't trust in. And you can't say you trust in him and you worship on him if your focus is somewhere else. And you can't say you trust in him. Oh, God, I just trust in you, but my heart is all over the place and I'm anxious and I'm scared. God, let me just throw this out. Fears, worries, cares, concerns, they will come to everybody, okay? Don't just think, oh, you're telling me I couldn't worship because I was worried. No, everyone gets worried about things at different points in their life. That's normal. It's knowing how to connect with God and calm your heart. And realize that I'm connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when the doctor gives a bad diagnosis. That's worship. So worship is not sitting and clapping our hands and singing louder than the person next to us. That's a part of it. But if you're not focused and you can't connect with your heart, then you're just going through the form, but it's fruitless. But then we go to the third one, don't we? Because we live the expression of my trusting in God flows out of this. In fact, Lisa gave me another scripture. She gave me Luke chapter 21, verse 1. Jesus and his disciples are sitting there in the temple, and they says, and he looked and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he also saw a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more. Everyone say more. She put in more than all of them. For these, out of their abundance, have put in offerings for God. They've put in their worship for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all she had. Can you see that progression here? I want to show you, first of all, can you put that picture up, Courtney? I actually have 2 mites. When Peter and I traveled to Israel a few years ago, we bought them. That's my hand. And they're 2 mites. That's it. They're not very big, are they? Can you imagine putting that into the box in the temple? And Jesus being so impressed that he stops his disciples and he says, you see what she just did? She just put in more than everybody else. What? They fit into the palm of your hand. That's not more. That's not hundreds. It's not thousands. It's certainly not millions. I don't want to be rude. It's kind of nothing, isn't it? Like, please hear my heart for a second. It's going somewhere. Just agree with me on the first part. In the natural, it's nothing. It was nothing in those days too, in the natural. It's like you coming in today and pulling out a $10 note, chucking it in, going, oh, big effort. It's nothing in the natural. In the natural, we're getting somewhere, I promise. Stay with me. But Jesus took note of what she did with her hands. And he said, she has put in more than everybody else. She is worshiping me. Can I say it like that? She's worshiping me more than everybody else. Why? Not because of the amount she put in, but because of the position of her heart. Because he said she's put in everything. Rich people come, they put hundreds, thousands, millions. Awesome. It's not a bag on rich people. It was a compliment to somebody who had reached the place where she so trusted him. And if I was to jump for a minute, we'd talk about tithe and offering, which always makes the church cringe, right? That's how I knew it had come to there. Everybody's always wanting money. Can I do it like this? Ready? Nope. Stick your $5 back in your pocket. Stick your $50 back in your pocket. Stick your $500 back in your pocket. Because if you are doing this to impress this, without going through this and this, it's just as meaningless. It's just as empty. If you think, my mate Archer's looking, better pull in and throw a few more into the buckets, that'll really impress Archer. You probably will impress Archer. Just not him. Because what dictates our worship is when it flows from our focus to our heart, to living out of it. Equally, it's where it gets tricky. People are here. They're like, oh, I just worship him. Are you calm in your spirit? No, but I just believe in him. Mm-hmm. James gives an answer to that. He says the devil believes in him and trembles. He knows he's real. So I want to know you can calm me. Oh yeah, but I'm so calm. I'm so peaceful. Oh my gosh. It's just so wonderful being me and Jesus. Oh, it's so amazing. Show me your faith and your worship without your works, and I'll show you mine through what my hands do. Jesus noticed what she did. Challenges me. Does Jesus notice what I do? Is he impressed? I don't mean is he impressed. I'm pretty sure he's not up there going, man, I just needed those last 2 mites. Lucky she gave them. Did he need it or did she need it? Yeah, it's got real quiet in this church this morning. Let me ask you a question. Does God need the two mites or did she need to invest it? Did God need her money? Was his kingdom on the verge of bankruptcy and then she threw the last two mites in and they went, lucky? Nope. Whatsoever a man sows, he reaps, but you don't get the cart before the horse. It's got to come out of your heart. It's got to come out. It's got to flow from my focus to my heart to my absolute confident trust that God has got this. And so I can give. You know, Spurgeon once said, generosity isn't determined by what you give, it's what you hold back. Now, can I say that again? Generosity isn't dictated or determined by what you give. I know people who give literally thousands of dollars each week. And I know people, and I love this, every now and again you see somebody getting a part-time job, and I remember seeing it many years ago with one of our young men, and they would put their $9 tithe in. That impressed me 100 times more than the $900 tithe. Are you getting that this morning? Can you see that this morning? It's got to come from my head. I trust and I'm looking to Jesus. And my heart, even though my wallet may appear empty, I know he's got it to an outflowing from my hands. So can I ask you this morning, which seat are you sitting in? Where are you at in your journey? Does your faith and worship actually outwork? Or are you still struggling to calm your heart? Or are you still struggling to fix your focus? Or have you come today and it's okay? Everyone has to start somewhere, and so maybe today you're in this one. And you're just looking around, can I suggest that you don't dismiss the Creator just because Uncle Bob did? That you don't dismiss that just perhaps there's a potential that there is a God who loves me just because your mum or dad said there's no potential. I remember talking to a young man, 16 years old, 16. Everyone say 16 so you know. 16 years old. And I was on a job site one day and I says to him, I said, mate, what do you think of Jesus? And he looked me in the face and he went, it's all a bunch of garbage. And I thought, wow, the passion, the conviction that he has come to a point in his 16 whole years of existence, that he is so educated and articulate that he has reached a place where he knows God is definitely not true. Uncle Bob, the guy over the back fence who said it's a bunch of garbage, you might want to stop and consider whether maybe he was missing something somewhere. You getting that this morning? I don't want you to take your whole life sitting in that chair. I want you to move to the possibility that just maybe there's a God who loves you. And just maybe I can give him some of my attention and some of my focus. And just maybe as I do, as I said in week one with the shepherd boy called David, unloved and unwanted by his family, as he began to give God his focus, as that psalm began to, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. It doesn't matter what the world said. It doesn't matter what the other people have said. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I'm just going to fix my thoughts on him. And all of a sudden, you find that wind beginning to propel him along to an incredible destiny as he fixes his thoughts on God. And then he comes to the next point. He's like, my heart is calm. I walk out and there's Goliath and the whole Israelite army is running away, but my heart's at peace because I've been fixing my thoughts on God, and my Saul's coming and he's trying to kill me, and I've got an opportunity to kill him, but I'm not going to take that into my hands because my heart is at peace because I've been fixing my thoughts on God. So it moves from my head to my heart, and ultimately it moves to his hands, where he steps out in faith and confidence and he takes on Goliath. He steps out in faith and confidence, knowing that God's got him no matter where he's at. That's where I want to bring the church to, here. Don't get stuck in one of those other seats. Come to here, where you are so confident and so bold that it doesn't matter what you're doing, how you're living, what you're giving, because I know that my God has got all things in his hands. He holds everything in his hands. I just know he's got this. Can I just pray for you this morning? Is that okay? Father God, I don't know where they are at. You do. Holy Spirit, you can move in the hearts and the lives and the minds of your people. And I pray you would search the hearts even today, and for those who are watching online. Would you prompt them? Where are they at? Have they taken the next step of faith? Do they genuinely trust you? Do they believe that you have got a divine plan and a purpose and a destiny for their life? And would they align themselves with you and what you're already doing? And for some this morning, that may start as a simple prayer. God, I'm lost. Help me find you. God, I'm lost. Let me look to you for my answers. God, I'm feeling poor or vulnerable or broke or sick, or my marriage is a mess. God, I need to start looking at someone else who has an answer that I don't yet have. God, help me to find you. And I just believe that when you pray those really honest prayers, that God begins to reveal himself to you. And he says, come and take a seat and let me have your attention and your focus. He says, come and take a seat and let me have your heart. Come and take a seat and be calm, even though the doctor's diagnosis is negative. I'm your healer. I'm your provider. Come and take a seat and step out in faith and live and give with generous hearts and generous lives. Father, I pray this morning that no matter where they're at, you would touch their hearts, you would touch their lives, and you would direct them towards you. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope you enjoyed the service. We are praying for you, and we will see you next week.